Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم sit comfortably. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, Alhamdulillah, it is the month of Rabiul Awwal, the month in which our beloved Nabi Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. The entire life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Islamic terminology is known as seerah, the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look into the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is amazing about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah has also mentioned in His own speech, the Quran, is the lofty character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ Truly, you, O my Nabi, are a man of outstanding character. You are a man of outstanding character. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has mentioned, Bu'ithtu, Allah has sent me, li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq, to complete the paragon of perfection in good character. That is why Allah has sent me. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won the hearts of the people in Arabia. And people were attracted to this beautiful deen because of his good character. And so as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we are required to emulate and to follow his character and to take on the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so what I have with me is four very beautiful and important ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that insha'Allah ta'ala will help an individual to excel in good character. Not too much and not too less. So that at least we can work on something. And so perhaps the very first step for a person to improve in his character, be it a man or a woman, young, old, anyone who has iman in his heart. This hadith, which is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, we have to listen to very carefully. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir." The one who has iman upon Allah and iman upon the last day. Now this is something very important. This is foundation. If you don't have iman upon Allah, and if you don't have iman on the last day, this will make a person independent and Firaun. Because he will feel that, look, nobody is watching over me. I can do whatever I want. And there is no accountability, so if I get away with it in this dunya, I get away with it. And so I am not responsible to anyone. It's easy to bypass your parents, your friends, your community. But to bypass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this aqeedah has to be very firm so that a person always remains on the right path. The people who choose a life of just enjoyment in this dunya, usually they don't have a connection with Allah Pak. They don't have a connection with the hereafter. And their motto in life is that you live once and enjoy it. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, only that person can do what I am going to tell him to do. Number one, if he has got iman upon Allah. And number two, he has got iman on the last day also, that there will be accountability. Then he can follow me. And so what is the first step of acquiring good character, akhlaq? So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Let him speak something that is good, something that is khair, something that is going to be of benefit. Otherwise, the best option for him is to be silent. Be quiet. The mouth that is shut will catch no flies. Let him be quiet. It's not that you are in a room and you are walking with somebody down the stairs that you have to make a conversation. Of course, saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu is the haqq of your Muslim brother. And saying to him, how are you, khair, this is your haqq. Good akhlaq. To smile, this is sunnah, this is good akhlaq. One waft of Abdul Qais came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the masjid. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, marhaba, marhaba. So even saying marhaba is sunnah. So when you have guests and you say marhaba, marhaba. Marhaba is, mashallah, welcome, welcome, bhai. Welcome. Marhaba. In Arabic it's marhaba. This is sunnah. And the first adab in maintaining your lofty character to become, you know, perfect, to become very good individual in his akhlaq, Allah's Nabi is saying, watch your mouth. What are the words that are coming from your mouth? فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا. The second option is to remain silent. But the first option is to speak something that is of benefit. Something that is going to give faida. something that in its nature is khair, something that is good. And so the scholars have done kalam on this hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain what is the meaning of khair. And so I want to put in front of you 5 points, because there are many points, otherwise then it will be confusing. So just a few points for us to understand. Number one, if you are going to say something to your friend at home, in your gathering, with your siblings, then the first adab of kalam, the first adab of speech, your utterance, what you are going to utter, is that it has to be the truth. What is the first adab? The truth. What you are saying is the truth. This is something very, very important. Very important. Because when a person is not given the tawfiq to speak the truth, then the mercy of Allah is also removed from him. Why? Because there are certain actions upon which the la'nat of Allah falls. Allah save us. The la'nat of Allah falls. And one guna upon which the la'nat falls is when a person is a habitual liar. That he is always lying. That he is in the habit of making up stories. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, no. فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرِ. Speak that which is the truth, is going to benefit people. So how is it going to benefit people? Number one, it has to be the truth. Number one, it has to be the truth. Number two, what you are saying to someone, it should be of benefit to you or to the person in front, even if it benefits him in dunya. There is no problem. So you are saying something to him so that it's going to be of benefit to him in his dunya, this is also good. So that kalam is also accepted in Islam. That you speak to him and you are giving him benefit about dunya, that is also good, because you are living in dunya. Number three, what you are saying, your kalam, should be a speech, a kalam that will also increase your iman, or the iman of the person that is in front of you. This is also something very important when we are speaking. It should not just be that, you know what, time wasting, cracking a joke, saying all sorts, repetition and, you know, 60% the truth and 40% milawat and lies, just to make someone laugh. So a person has to be of good character. Sometimes, of course, if it's a genuine joke, it's a joke, there's no problem with it. A lady came and she said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, make dua, I go to Jannah. Huzur alayhi salam looked at her. Lady, you're not going to Jannah. Lady, you're not going to Jannah. She started crying. And Allah's Nabi is saying to her that right now you are an old woman. So this old woman is not going to, when you go to Jannah, you will be very young and beautiful. You will be very young and beautiful. And so a person needs to really monitor and verify what Allah's Nabi is saying to maintain good akhlaq. And if he wants to excel in his akhlaq, that he has to speak the truth. And number four, what is very important, is that you are saying something possibly to rectify or to do islah of someone. أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Allah has said that in the Quran. Now this islah Islah means to rectify someone's wrong so he does something that is right. How do you do that? Politely, with wisdom. Frame your words carefully. Think about it, that who is the best spokesman. Look at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he wanted to negotiate a meeting with the mushrikeen of Makkah. So many talented people were put in front of him that the spokesman should be Hazrat Abu Bakr. Someone said, no, Umar. Someone said, Hazrat Ali. Someone said, so and sahabi. At the end, after looking into the best strategy, the best spokesman, and the best person to look into the sulah, the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, it was Hazrat Uthman. It was Hazrat Uthman. And so you are doing someone's islah, that is fine. Now, one is to humiliate someone. What is it? To humiliate someone. In the world of social media, this is very easy. You might not like someone, you catch him, you know, at the wrong end in the street, he's angry and you've recorded something. And you have only shown one side of this person's temperament, and then you make it viral, and you say, you see, this person is like that. Is that islah? Do you call that islah?
No.
What do you call that? Intentional humiliation with intent. What is it? So you want to humiliate your Muslim brother with intent. What is it? کہ ساری دنیا کو پتا چل جائے کہ یہ کیسا ہے ذلیل اس کو کیا جائے. That is very dangerous, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you have made that person ذلیل when your intention should have been اصلاح, to rectify the wrong, because everybody has issues, then there is a possibility that how people will laugh at him before you die, you will face the same as what you had put your brother through. If you have troubled your parents, for sure your children will trouble you. You will go through that same cycle in life. So, لا تظهر الشماتة. You know, don't make a joke out of a person who shares your iman. If you are sincere, then you want to do his islah, then of course do his islah, because that is called amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. There's a fine line between islah and to make someone zaleel. To make someone zaleel. Zaleel means to humiliate. So Allah's Nabi is saying, if you're going to speak, then of course there's no problem in doing islah of someone. That is in your capacity. And then another point which the scholars have mentioned is that what you are saying, it should be that you might be encouraging other people to do good deeds so that it becomes sadaqah jariyah for them. What should it be? You are saying something to them so that they do something, they will be rewarded, and they will be rewarded in such a way that it will become for them sadaqah jariyah. So this is the meaning where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if you have iman upon Allah and the last day, فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا, then get into the habit of speaking something that is of benefit, speaking something that is good, you know. It doesn't have to be that you have to be the clown of the crowd. Don't allow anyone to make you the clown of the crowd. That, yeah, you know, we need him, he's a cracker, he'll crack jokes, and you know, he doesn't have to do that. So a person has to be very serious in life, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that you can't, you know, enjoy life. That balance has to be there. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, liyasmut. You know, another option is that you just stay quiet. And staying quiet will elevate your character in such a way that Allah's Nabi has said on the day of Qiyamah, where there will be mizan, the scales that measure your good deeds. The most heavy on your good, as your good deeds on the mizan, will be two actions. One, your character, and one, your silence. Your husnul khuluq, your good character, and your silence. This will be very heavy on your mizan. And the very famous hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man samata naja, the one who is silent, salvation is given to him, he is saved. So a person, mashallah, if he wants to, you know, increase himself in good character, the very first step, what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is that watch what you are saying. Try to speak something that is of benefit, something that is khair. The second step, the ulama have mentioned for a person to acquire and to maintain good character, is another hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. Then that's the beauty from one's Islam. The beauty from one's Islam is to disregard and to leave that which is of no concern to him. The beauty of one's Islam is to disregard and to turn away from something that is of no concern to him. In English, sometimes we say, mind your own business. What is it? Mind your own business. But we have to be careful what is meant by mind your own business. Sometimes it can be your business. So you might be in that position and Shariat might want you to say something. So we have to evaluate what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. That disregard, it is not intelligence for a person to involve himself in every matter. Involve himself in every matter. That is not intelligence. Sometimes I get a phone call. Say, Mawlvi Sahib, Assalamu Alaikum. Wa Alaikum Salaam. Mawlvi Sahib, MashaAllah, we have a dispute in the family. And so we would like you to be a man who will decide. So we invite you. And it is between the other party, the other family. So just say, the husband family is ringing me and the dispute is with the wife's family. So I say to them that, look, please don't feel bad. In Islam, if I say yes to you, the wife's family will naturally think that I am a barrister for you. I am a barrister for you. That bias already sits in. That bias already sits in. So I said, it doesn't work that way. But Mawlvi Sahab, aap to itne 6 meter ke bayan karte. Aap kya karte hai? 6 meter ka bayan. That is my duty, to do a bayan 6 meter ka. Ye sunnat hai, kya hai? Allah ke Rasool bhi karte the na bayan. Jumaah ko Allah's Nabi did that, Sahaba did that, everybody did that, we have to do that. So I said, in Islam, if you want me to get involved in a matter that is of no concern to me, then both parties must ring me to tell me that, Mawlvi Sahib, we are happy for you to become a hakam. We are both happy. Then what happens? it's okay. Otherwise, my experience being an imam is that when you are acting on behalf of the wife or the husband, then you are there in your one majlis, two majlis, trying to explain to them what is right and what is wrong. After 2 months, the husband and wife get together, then the other family members hate this Mauli Saab. What do they do? Mauli Saab to bo badmash chhe ala ato. Gunda chhe gunda. He's not a right man. I don't listen to his bayans at all. You know what? He was only taking the side of that person. This is the problem. So anything that is spoke against a person because there's arrogance, that arrogance does not allow you to think right. Musa alayhi salam went to Firaun. He could not think right, but he was the head of state. Imagine the head of state. He had an army, powerful army, but he could not think right. Why? The cancer of arrogance. The cancer of arrogance does not allow you to think right, and you are not willing to accept the wrong. So Allah's Nabi is saying it is not intelligence for a person to involve himself in matters that are of no concern to him. Now he wants to investigate what was the noise that was coming from the neighboring house. The neighbors were screaming or whatever they were doing. It's got nothing to do with you. So leave it. Leave it. Why are you involving yourself? The husband and wife might have had an argument, and now you want to butt in. But did they ask you to butt in? No. Maybe they could have resolved the matter themselves. But by you coming in, you might even break the relationship. So sometimes you have to be very careful. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that something that is not of your concern, it does not concern you, you don't have to do panchat. Why are you doing panchat? What's it to you? Is there something to you that you want to find out and investigate and want to know everything what is happening? Why? Nothing. It's got nothing to do with you. And in the hadith, what we learn, Allah's Nabi is saying that try to give space to the people who want space. What is it? Give people the space. Give people the privacy that they require. That is why the adab is that when you go to the house, you ring the doorbell once. And you wait. Nobody is opening the door. But you know the people are inside, but they are not opening the door. Then you ring the doorbell again. You know the people are inside, but they are not opening the door. Then you ring the doorbell again. You know the people are inside, but they have not opened the door for you. Allah's Nabi is saying there should be no hard feelings. Maybe they want to have space, or it's their privacy, or it is their time for something, whatever it may be, and you are not wanted at this time there. So by, you know, you are not supposed to feel bad, you know, why is this happening, why, when, now I'm going to stop talking to you, you are like this, you ignored me, you did this, no. So min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi, that a lot of the times we can save ourselves from problems when we learn how to be reserved. But reserve in which matters? Reserve in matters that are not affecting us. Are not affecting us. But of course, in matters that are affecting the ummah, generally that is different. Then every Muslim has to be doing something. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said something that is very, very amazing. Allah give us the tawfiq. Now these are, you know, very basic things, but my respected brothers, believe me, it can save us from a lot of problems. A lot of problems. You will find some people that want to drag you into a situation, and they will read in front of you the hadith, so, you know, two Muslims helping a Muslim, doing this. Are bhai, this hadith has got one meaning, but what you are doing right now, this hadith does not fall here. This hadith does not fall here. So this kind of, you know, politics that sometimes people will want to play to drag you into a situation, what some people will do is that they will put the gun on your shoulder to shoot someone else. So Allah's Nabi is saying, be very careful. Something that is of no, not a concern to you, then bas just say, no, jazakallah, you know what? Why? Because it might be that you are not even qualified to be saying something. You might not be the right person to be there to say something. And then, the third step that we are required to take in maintaining good character and lofty character is a man came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Oh, sini ya Rasulallah, give me good advice, O Nabi of Allah, what should I do?" And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and repeated the words continuously, looked at him and said to him, "La tagzab, la tagzab, la tagzab, la tagzab, la tagzab, la tagzab, don't get angry. Don't get angry, don't get angry, control your anger, don't get angry, control your anger." And Allah's Nabi was repeating the words. For a person to have husnul khuluq, very good character, it has to be a man who has got full control of his temper. Unnecessarily getting angry, unnecessarily, that you get angry very, very quickly, this is poison to your good character. 90% of talaq and a good relationship and basically something minor, but that minor became major because shaitan instigated and got them angry. And in anger, he blurted out, talak, 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 bas. Sometimes a person gets angry, "Are you listening to me?" Not 300 talaks. Itna gussa, kitna gussa. You know, sometimes you get people say, "Maul sahab, you know, husband gave 1,000 talaks." 1,000 talaks, are bhai. Itna gussa, 1,000 talaks. I said, you know, main itna hushyar nahi hu maths mein, lekin what does 1,000 talaq mean? 1,000 mein 3 to aa gayi na. 1,000 talaq. Anger. That is why a woman is a very emotional creature. What is she? Very emotional. Us aurat ke mood swings bahut hote hain. Bahut jaldi mood swings. It's time for her not to pray namaz, mood swings problem. And you see all these things. Birth ke baad bhi mood swings. A woman is very, very, you know, she can be very moody. She goes through a lot of changes in life. Bichari. That's how Allah has created her. Very emotional, very emotional. You know, you might say something to her, she'll take it to heart. "Oh, you know, you didn't give me flowers. Dekhna. Ab tumhe parathe nahi milenge subah ko. Ab tum poochho. No parathas for you." Very emotional creature. And because she is very emotional, Allah gave the power of talaq to who? To the man. But the modern world, how they give it a beautiful spin. "Oh, you see, Islam doesn't give rights to women." Are bhai ullu. Allah has created a man and Allah has created a woman and Allah knows better the qualities of a woman and Allah knows better the qualities of a man. So whatever power Allah gives to a person, some authority Allah has given to a woman. That is why when it comes to, when a sahabi came and said, "Oh Rasul, Ya Rasulullah, who should I display my best character to?" What did he say? "Your mother." "Who should I," and then second time, "Who should I give my best character? Who should I show my best character to?" What did he say for the second time? "Your mother, woman." And then for the third time, "Who should I show my best character to?" Your mother. Wo nazam hai na. And then for the fourth time he said, your father, when did we come? After three times mother, we came. This honor is given, but they won't look at this honor. They won't look at how Islam has elevated women. They are very carefully only selecting things where they can bite you. Bas. Halaki, because they are very emotional creatures, you know, sometimes they become very emotional. That is why even in Kabristan it is said that let the men go there. Otherwise they will not even allow the dead person to be buried. And they start, some women start to scream, Allah Pak, what happened? Why did you take him? Mat le jao isko. Isko mat le jao. Kahan le ja rahe ho? Kahan le ja rahe ho? Where are you taking him? You know, sometimes you see this. Oh, a man, he's not as emotional as the woman. So Allah knows. So khair, what I'm saying, don't get angry. Anger opens the door of murder. When you are angry, you might have a kitchen knife and you might want to slit somebody's throat. What happened? Anger. You might have something in your hands and you might want to throw it. Bhai, kya hua? Gussa? So Allah's Nabi is saying, you want good character? La taghzab. Don't get angry. Bas baat khatam kar raha hu. Aap bhi thake hue hai, mere azizo. The fourth hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yu'minu ahadukum. That none of you are people of complete iman. Hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi. Until you will like for your brother that which you will like for yourself. So you should be so mukhlis. If somebody comes for mashwara to you, if somebody is asking you something and he is your Muslim brother, sister, then what you like for yourself is how you should open up for him also. This is called ikhlas and this is called sincerity. So how many levels should we work on to acquire good akhlaq? Number one, what was it? Yeah, speak something that is of benefit. Or another option is to remain silent. Number two, something that doesn't concern you, something that doesn't concern you, then don't get involved. Don't be an investigator. Hamesha investigation ka kaam mat karo. Ye achhi aadat nahi hai. Bahut buri aadat hai. Baaz logo ki aadat hai. Baaz mardon mein aadat hai. They like to investigate unnecessarily. Wrong. This is not in Shariat. Not in Shariat. Don't even forward something that is opening someone's ab. Don't play that role of forwarding it. It's got nothing to do with you, bhai. Ha, if it has got something to do with your deen and protecting your deen and protecting your Islam, that is different. Bhai, no. This is something very different. Theek hai, fir aap bata sakte. Number three, what are we to do? Don't get angry. Allah give us the tawfiq. This is what we should learn from the seerah. And number four, like for your Muslim brother what you will like for yourself. Not just Muslim brother, even Muslim sister to a Muslim sister. And just to conclude, something that comes to my mind, it is amazing. Imagine how Sahaba and Sahabiyat would make amal on this. That like for your Muslim brother that which you like for yourself. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had a very small room, a cubicle, a very small room like you have atikaf rooms, compartments. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this dunya, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said to the people that I have heard from my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, and this is the powerhouse of knowledge, Hazrat Abu Bakr. A'lamun nas, the most knowledgeable. He would not speak, he would let other people speak. But then when it came to the main decisions, when people were stuck, they didn't know what to do, he would say, wait, I have heard. So people were saying, you know, let's bury Huzur alayhi salam in Baytul Maqdis next to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Some said Jannatul Baqi, some said Jannatul Mu'alla, some said where the Kaaba is, some said, you know, different areas. Rasul Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said, no, Allah's Nabi told me that a Nabi is buried where death comes to him. So he passed away here, so Allah's Nabi will also be buried here, this location, which was the Hujra, the room of Hazrat Aisha. So when Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam passed away, in her own room was the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when people came to send salams, they would stand near the Hujra of Hazrat Aisha and give salam to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If she wanted to allow somebody to come in, she would allow someone to come in. Then the father passed away, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq also wanted to be buried with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course she is the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr. So she gave the space next to Huzur alayhi salam to the beloved father, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is also resting next to Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. Hazrat Aisha is now saying that both are my mahram. One is my husband and the other is my father. Mahram. So she is saying, I am going to be buried here in my room when I die also, because this is my room, this is my house. So my wasiyat will also be that when I die, please also bury me here. This was her dream. This was her dream, an ambition in life. Yani agar koi aadmi kisi ko kahe na, you know, what is your tamanna in life? She was saying, my tamanna is to be with my father and my Nabi. And she had every right because it's her room and her house. But subhanallah, understand this hadith. Like for your brother what you will like for yourself. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, you know, he is attacked at Fajr time and he falls down and he knows it's time for me to go. Quickly he calls his son Abdul Rahman, says, Abdul Rahman, go to the mother, Hazrat Aisha, and tell her that it is the wish of Hazrat Umar, but only if you give permission that I want to have a reservation in her room to be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Now imagine what a gift she is prepared to give the third party and what an immense sacrifice. Can you think about this? What an immense sacrifice. All she had to say was, you know what, no, sorry. Make any excuse. And this was valid. But she knew of the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Allah's Nabi is saying, people of lofty character, people of lofty iman are very sincere. And what they like for themselves, they will like for others. And you know, with wet eyes, she said that, who better than Hazrat Umar to be in the company of the two? So he came running and she said, ijazat is given. But look at the akhlaq of Hazrat Umar. He said to the son, no, when I die, repeat the question and ask again in case she changes her mind and she has a right to change her mind. And then when he passed away, they came again and they said that, Amma Aisha, are you sure that we can bury him here? She got angry. Did I not tell you? Did I not tell you? Of course. And the janaza of Hazrat Umar was lifted and taken to the Hujra and is buried next to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he came in the room of Hazrat Aisha, Look at the level of hijab that was maintained. A person that has passed away, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what she did is that she put a curtain around and she said, two are my mahram and one is my ghair mahram. That is why I do parda from Hazrat Umar. I do parda from Hazrat, the best of the best, and she is the best of the best, and she is saying, I'm doing parda of Hazrat Umar. But khair, what I'm trying to say, look how sincere people were, that they were even ready to give such a unique, a prestigious location, you know, a buqa, this territory, this land, to someone else. Why? Because of what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. So Allah give us the sincerity. Allah give us the tawfiq that we also maintain good akhlaq. Allah hareko tawfiq de. We request to the brothers that mashallah, come regularly, invite other people to come. The more you come, inshallah, the more you will benefit, because we are listening to the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, this young group, and in fact not just young group, everyone of every age, Ya Allah, in the evening, Ya Allah, end of the week after Isha have come, Ya Allah, only for your pleasure, only for your pleasure. Allah, accept our sitting, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept our listening, Ya Allah. Whatever we have said, Allah, give us the tawfiq that, Ya Allah, we can excel in good character. Allah, protect our children, our progeny, this ummah, our youth, Ya Allah, that are lost. Allah, open the doors of masajid for them. Allah, so they can come into the masjid. Allah, open our hearts so that we can have the love of Allah and His Rasul. Allah, the greatest ni'mah is to love you and your Nabi. Allah, the greatest ni'mah is to love you, your Nabi, and your beautiful deen. Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with these bounties. Allah, give us the istiqamat, Ya Allah, that we can always come and sit and benefit from sacred Islamic gatherings of durus. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, make us all from mustajabud da'wat. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi wa ahli bayti ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Thank you.